I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
Lions Daily on TalkSport 2.
It's TalkSport 2, I'm Tim Cocker, and this is the Lions Daily. And have we got a proper tour on our hands all of a sudden, or what? Last night, the Lions lost their first match on that tour of South Africa against South Africa A, who were pretty much the Springboks, let's be honest. I'm still absolutely buzzing from the game, and it suggests that the Test series coming up will be everything we hoped it would be. Over the next hour, we'll review the match and hear from the Lions camp. And we'll also start to cast our eye towards the weekend as well, because earlier the Lions named their side to take on the Stormers on Saturday. Former Lions second row as well, Ben Kay, he'll be chatting about Alan Wynne-Jones, because the Terminator, the Undertaker, Mr. Incredible, call him what you want, but the talismanic Welshman is rejoining the Lions and will be running out again for them exactly 3 weeks since dislocating his shoulder against Japan. Unbelievable, that. If we can track down the witch doctor who treated him, we'll get them on as well. But I can tell you, we will chat to George Tavner. He was the head of Filton College for 3 years when Taulupe Faletau was there. And Taulupe is our player profile for today. Plus, we'll ask, how can the Lions stop Cheslin Kolbe? And round up some of the entertaining moments from last night's commentary on TalkSport. So yeah, lots to get through. And let's start with that game last night. Andrew McKenna and James Haskell, they were in the commentary box for TalkSport as South Africa A defeated the Lions.
Here we go then, Cape Town for the first time. The Cape Town Stadium, it's the new home of rugby down in the Western Cape.
Damien Dialende's bringing it away, and now Nkosi over the halfway line, over the 10-metre line, up to the edge of the 22. It's going to take a miracle tackle to deny him from here, and he won't come in. Farrell got partially across, but not enough.
Unfortunately, Owen Farrell goes for a chip or a crossfield kick or whatever it was, gets charged down, and we're underneath our post. It's exactly what we were saying. You know, one positive, straight into a negative, straight into a score.
Kolbe takes five inside of his own top. Brilliant little goose step for Cheslin Kolbe. Goes down the right-hand side. Elliot Daly makes a tackle. The offload to Lekan Yohan. And he will go in to score the try. The second of the evening for South Africa.
Yeah, the Lions are kicking slightly longer. And you're giving someone like Cheslin Kolbe, who has the naughtiest feet in the business. I mean, this guy... They are ridiculous. Too much time, and they're just slightly off the pace.
Well, they've picked and gone, and now they have got the try on this occasion, the Lions. They've gone around the edge, and Wynne-Jones is going to finally get his five-pointer on this occasion. It's been hacked clear by Damien Valenza. Will it stay on the field of play? No, it won't. Oh, my goodness, what a dramatic end. The Lions did so nearly turn it over and get one more crack at this game. The Lions have come a cropper against South Africa A. They've lost by 17 points to 13.
It really, really was an awesome 80 minutes. Can't wait for the Test series. And we've got the final warm-up game this weekend as well. Commentary on TalkSport once again. I liked having James Haskell on, very honest. And Macca at his electric best. With me right now as well, another member of the team, TalkSport 2's Alfie Reynolds. How much are you buzzing for now this tour really feels like it's kicked into gear?
That's exactly what I was going to say, Tim. I feel like we've got a Test series now. I feel like we've got a proper tour. It's still different to usual. There's no fans. I get all of that. But last night was the first time where I thought, here we go. This is a real test. Because let's be frank, up until this point, and this is the greatest respect to the opposition the Lions had come up against, they kind of felt like exhibition games.
100%. This was full-blooded. And I think in the case of both teams, they were probably similarly close to full strength. Maybe five or six people you could see coming in to a test side on both sides. So it's just going to be an epic test series. I just want to give a little shout to the guy who was looking after the sound in the Cape Town Stadium as well. I love the fact he played the A-team theme tune with all the talk about this isn't really the Springbok A side. And also, when there was a bit of fisticuffs about to break out, he started playing a boxing bell. So I was here for that.
That's good work. Yeah, no, that's a very good spot from you as well there, yeah. Tim. Good work.
And some things I learned from last night, Alfie. Tom Curry and Maro Itoje are good at rugby.
That is true. That's absolutely true. It's a very, very good spot again.
Yeah, and also, don't kick the ball direct to Cheslin Kolbe.
I mean, we're going to get on to Cheslin Kolbe. He is unbelievable, isn't he?
Yeah, ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
The goal line stand from South Africa at the end of the first half, I absolutely loved. Those last few inches on their try line, they defend them with their lives, and it was just immense to watch. Lewis Rees-Sammet's haircut, I know we're going to touch on that a little bit later as well. That definitely needs to be talked about.
Absolutely.
And I think the great thing about this game last night is you realise when you look at every position in that Lions side and everyone that's been involved, and you think every single person of the 37 or however many men it is that are out there now, they've all got a chance to be involved in the 23 next week.
Yeah, exactly. And particularly if they played well yesterday, because as we've mentioned, the opposition was so much stronger. It was the toughest test that they've had. I think it was a great indication for Warren Gatland of who is going to be able to go toe-to-toe with the Springboks. And you talk about their goal line stand. I mean, it was like watching the World Cup final again, wasn't it? When England were trying to break them down and you just thought, there's absolutely no way they're going to be able to here. South Africa, very impressed. I don't know about you, Tim. I know South Africa are world champions, but I was probably surprised at how good they actually were.
For their first hit out together, yeah, in that long, 20 months, nearly 21 months, that is seriously impressive. I think what we heard from Rassie Erasmus earlier this week is that match fitness was one of the things he was really looking at. And I think you maybe saw that a little bit. And I guess the question is, who will benefit most from that 80 minutes looking ahead to the test series? Because I think there's arguments on both sides.
Well, this is the thing. I was thinking about this and I'm struggling to see who's the loser out of this situation, because the Lions, it was a great test for. We've repeated a number of times on the Lions Daily over the last few weeks about 2009, and Warren Gatland has said they were undercooked for the test series and it was looking like the same again this time around. But then also for South Africa, they've played so little that of course they need the match fitness. That's exactly what Rassie Erasmus has said. So In a lot of ways, I think it was the perfect game for both teams.
Yeah, it was a little hors d'oeuvre ahead of the main course. Yeah, we've got some huge games to look ahead to. But looking back on that game against the South Africa A, despite losing their first match on tour, Warren Gatland, he said there were loads of positives to take from the match.
We'll take a lot out of tonight, and you know, it'd be good for us sort of building in the next 10 days for that first test. So, in fairness to South Africa, they started well. They were very physical at the breakdown, and we came to terms with that. Proud of the boys coming from 17-3 down, you know, to come back and finish so strongly in the second half. So I thought we were finishing over top of them, and it just goes to show, I think these test matches are going to be a real arm wrestle, and that's what it was this evening. It was as close to a test match as you're going to get.
Warren Gatland, absolutely right. And pointing out that the Lions came back in the second half, they can take positives from that. And then equally, the Springboks can say, well, we managed to hold out and win. So, yeah, psychologically, really interesting. And let's continue with the thoughts after the game from Captain Connor Murray, who said it was the toughest match by some distance and said playing a team of South Africa A's quality was vital for the team.
We're going to grow from this, and the hit out will do us, you know, an awful lot in terms of moving forward and being able to deal with that physicality in the coming weeks, because that's a massive part of their game. They look to attack you at the breakdown. They look to disrupt your quality breakdown ball and the speed of ball. So, you know, having a hit out against it, facing it live is going to stand to us moving forward for sure.
Connor Murray there on a huge game. And he mentioned looking forward. And let's look forward to Saturday. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves and start thinking purely about the test match next weekend. There's a big, big final chance for a lot of these players to stake their claim for test jerseys, and a game on Saturday against the Stormers. The Lions announced their team earlier today. And, well, here's the team. Very interesting selections. In the front row, Rory Sutherland, Luke Cowan-Dickey and Ty Furlong. In the second row, Adam Beard, who was very impressive off the bench in that game last night. And Johnny Hiller in the second row, with a back row of Ty Byrne, Hamish Watson and Jack Conan. At scrum half, it's Ali Price. Get this, fly half, Marcus Smith. That is a massive story. We'll definitely get into that in a second. Robbie Henshaw returning from injury is big as well, and he starts at inside centre with Elliot Daly at 13. I'm very excited to see that particular pairing. And the back three is Duane van der Merwe, Josh Adams, so, you know, another 17 tries from him, I imagine, at the weekend. And Stuart Hogg, another man whose name we've missed off of recent team sheets. He's out of isolation now, and he'll captain the team from fullback. The bench, Jamie George, Mako Vanapola, Xander Fagerson, Alan Wynne-Jones, unreal, Sam Simmons, Gareth Davis, Chris Harris, Lewis Rhys-Samet. So as you've said, every single player in that squad has a legitimate shout at a test match day squad, which is why this game this Saturday is so huge.
I'd love to know the mentality of the players now, because earlier on in the tour, there was an element, and Gatland said, everyone's going to get a chance, everyone's going to get game time. But now it's kind of like, okay, this is your last chance. This is... show us why you need to be starting against South Africa. So I think it's a really interesting time for that squad. And there are a lot of different combinations and selection dilemmas that I think are going to be quite intriguing.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to talk about Marcus Smith here for a second. Let me just describe his last five Saturdays. So 5 Saturdays ago, he was involved in a Premiership semi-final comeback. And just what a performance that was. So he took his team, Harlequins, onto a Premiership final. And they won that one as underdogs. Following week, he got his first England cap and scored his first England try. And then he got a Lions call-up during his second England cap the following weekend. And on the fifth weekend, he'll be starting for the Lions. So will it be the full house? Will he get the sixth one next week?
That is unbelievable, isn't it, though?
It's just incredible.
I mean, as a Bristol fan, I've just about got over that semi-final, Tim. So I'm all right speaking about it now. But for Marcus Smith... I mean, you mentioned those last 5 weeks, and it is an unbelievable when you lay them out like that. It is quite extraordinary, but it's just he's had a great season, hasn't he? He has been brilliant for Harlequins. I think there's so many England fans and, of course, Harlequins fans that are going to be delighted to see him be in there. And I know tomorrow on the show we're hopefully going to hear a little bit more from him. He's been speaking to some of our reporters and things like that. But is this just because they're resting Dan Biggar? Owen Farrell played. Does he have any chance? What do you reckon?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think he has a chance at a test jersey. And I think the one thing you mentioned is how a lot of the games so far have felt like exhibition matches. And without their South African players, unless Rassie Erasmus does some more incredible work behind the scenes, it will probably feel a little bit like that against the Stormers, albeit there will be an extra edge because this is the last chance for a lot of these guys. But I think the step up from every other game we've seen to the one we saw last night was so vast that I don't think, however good Marcus Smith plays, he will oust Owen Farrell or Dan Biggar from one of those jerseys, be it starting or on the bench. Unless Warren Gatland goes Biggar and Farrell and there's a spot on the bench that opens up, who knows?
Yeah, that's just what, again, tomorrow on the show, me and Tim are actually going to sit down and go through who we think we would start if the test matches were tomorrow. But it's interesting. It will depend because will Owen Farrell play 12? You know, will there potentially be a spot there if Finn Russell's fitness isn't quite right? So Marcus Smith, I mean, let's just hope he grabs the opportunity of both hands. I'm sure he will. He's in unbelievable form.
Yeah, and he'll be soaking up everything. It's fascinating that Marcus Smith is on this stage and at this level because one of the things that struck me in every time he's been interviewed down the years, and he was not ashamed to say, it was a couple of years ago now, and he said, I want to be the best player in the world.
Mm.
And he said it with a completely straight face. A lot of people would think that but not say it. He said it, he means it, and he's following through on it. He's having an incredible season, and this could just cap it off. As for Alan Wynne-Jones, the other eye-catching name on that team sheet in the 23, just an absolutely remarkable recovery. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We will chat about him with someone who's been there and done it himself. Won World Cups. Played for the Lions in the second row, in the engine room. We'll be chatting to Ben Kay in a minute. But it's the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous Grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18+, be drink aware, and commentary of every game on the Lions tour to South Africa across the TalkSport network. And like I say, AWJ with Ben Kay.
Seven minutes played on tour, and the captain is down. And we're talking about Alan Wynne-Jones. We're talking about 148 Wales caps.
He knows. He's got that look in his face. He knows, doesn't he?
I'm just devastated for him because he's captain Wales again to a Six Nations title. you just feel for him. You know the prep that he puts in, his professionalism.
Some breaking news from the British and Irish Lions camp. Initial tour captain Alan Wynne-Jones will return to play with the squad after recovering from a shoulder injury.
He has made a remarkable recovery in terms of that injury, which the assessment was initially that it wasn't as bad as they first thought. You know, it would be a boost to the squad having someone of his experience and calibre to come back into the squad.
It doesn't sound like he is human. Like Alan Wynne-Jones is probably one of his biggest strengths is his mental fortitude, and just to sort of, the more somebody telling him he can't do something, the more likely he is to do it.
When speaking about a man who's nearing 150 Wales caps, is on his fourth British and Irish Lions tour, you would have thought we'd stop being amazed, but cue Alan Wynne-Jones with another remarkable feat. The original tour captain is back after injuring his shoulder against Japan at Murrayfield and being ruled out of the tour. He's now linking back up with the squad. He's on the bench for this weekend's game. They said he flew to South Africa. I'm not sure whether that means on a plane or he just put a cape on. One or the other. Either way, he's there. And I'm delighted now that I've got former British and Irish Lion, second row, Ben Kay. How are you doing, Benny?
Hi, Tim. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. Where does AWJ rank in the pantheon of greats?
Look, right at the very top, I think, particularly when you look at world rugby's captains and guys that sort of will stand the test of time and will still be talking about in 40, 50 years' time. There's very few of them, and he's right up there and you know, perhaps hasn't had the big World Cup wins that others have had, but that's not necessarily sort of down to anything that he's done. It's just the fact that Wales haven't been competing in World Cup finals. So, look, he put him in any team in the world and they would get better for it.
You mentioned others that get mentioned that have won World Cups. Obviously, your former club, Country and Lions teammate Martin Johnson would be one that springs to mind there. What difference does... Do guys like that, the Johnsons and in this case Alan Wynne-Jones, what do they make to have around, not just on the field, but just their presence and aura, part of a group?
I think it's a really good comparison between those two. There's obviously other great players that would come into that same bracket, but in terms of the makeup, the psychological makeup, what they do for the team, I think they're very, very similar. It's very difficult to put your hand on it or your finger on it because otherwise everyone would be doing it, but it's just that sheer presence and always doing the right thing, always making the right decision. And it's not the shouty leadership that, you know, this is what you should be doing. It's just operating exactly how a professional should, exactly how an elite athlete and professional rugby player should, at the right time, under pressure, and always getting it right. And you know, people like that, you just want to follow into battle.
Absolutely. What Warren Gatland said, he's going to sit down and chat with Alan Wynne-Jones and Conor Murray. Would you fancy being a fly on the wall in that meeting? What do you imagine will go down there?
I don't think it will be any sort of animosity on Conor Murray's part. I think he'll be absolutely delighted. I know he said the right things on TV and people might question whether that was just because the microphone was under his lips, but all he wants to do is win a Lions Test Series, and you can't help but think the Lions are better off for having Alan Wynne-Jones back there in whatever capacity. You know, we don't know whether he's going to be a starter. We don't know how much the lack of game time will affect him because, of course, not only has he missed all the warm-up games for the Lions, but his season finished earlier than some of the English players that were involved in the Premiership. He might be slightly rusty, and you've then got to throw into the equation where you can't just put him on the bench until you've tested out the shoulder, because if that starts to play up and you've already brought him off the bench, you then need to replace your replacement. So it's a difficult scenario for Warren Gatland to put the pieces of the jigsaw back together, but I'm pretty sure he'll do everything he can to have Alan Wynne-Jones in that dressing room at least for the test matches.
Well, let's have a little listen to this, Ben. This is Warren Gatland talking about Alan Wynne-Jones and obviously saying he's not guaranteed to start the test.
He hasn't had any rugby for the last 3 weeks, even though he's been taking a full part in training and stuff. So, you know, it's something that we won't make a decision on there. You know, yeah, it's gonna be a conversation about what we do with the team, because I think in the game at the moment, having guys come off the bench is incredibly important, and having guys who can come off and make a difference. And I thought our bench was pretty good today, and and gave us an impact, and that's going to be incredibly important in the test matches, that we have players who come off the bench and can really give you something, who can bring you, give you energy, but also that experience and ability to be able to change a game. So, you know, those are the things that they won't, there's no guarantees of anyone being selected. So those discussions will take place after Saturday's game.
Ben, if you were a betting man, what do you think will happen come test match time and Alan Wynne-Jones?
Well, if I was a betting man, having heard Warren Gatland say he might be on the bench, I'd put all my money on him being a test starter, because Warren Gatland's renowned for not necessarily telling the interviewer exactly what's going to happen. So having said that, you know, the benefit of for a team when you're on the ropes a little bit, and you know the legs have started to go from underneath you, and the fatigue has set in. Yeah, you're in a huddle, and then in pops Alan Wynne-Jones' head and says, "It's right, lads, here I am." You know, that sort of lift that it can give you. I remember playing in games with guys that were sat on the bench, you know, legends of the sport, and you know, the likes of Jason Leonard coming on in a World Cup final. You know, there was a time where I think Clive Woodward decided to pick Leonard, Johnson, Delalio, Dawson, all on the bench, and they came on halfway through, and you could just feel the opposition going, "Oh no, we thought we had parity here, and now they're bringing on some big guns as well." So, look, I think there's a benefit either way. The big worry, if you start him on the bench, though, is that he comes on and his shoulder's not quite as good as we thought, and you won't know that. For all the training you can do, all the you know, all the game realistic stuff you can do in training, until you put under the actual stress levels of test match rugby, he won't 100% know whether his shoulder's going to hold up.
Well, we'll see how it goes this weekend. Presumably he'll get some minutes from the bench. But on yesterday's match against South Africa A, what did you make of that game, Ben?
I actually thought it was a really much needed thing for both sides. Clearly, the South Africans have been short of game time, which is why they picked the side that they did. But having said that, you know, the Lions have not faced test match intensity yet, and the game plan has been very different as a result. We saw the South Africans manage to get, certainly for a large part of the game, the sort of control of the game and the tempo of the game that they had in the World Cup final, when you know they completely suppressed how England wanted to play. So that will have been a big learning lesson for Warren Gatland and his men, because what I've loved about the Lions so far is the balance that they've played with, and you know, you want to see them playing all over the pitch and not just running into brick walls, because that's not going to work against South Africa. Under pressure yesterday, they went back, they got forced back into playing that style of rugby, and we saw them hammering away at the South African line. And there wasn't, you know, it wasn't creaking at all. So they need to play with a bit more balance, and they need to get that defensive line moving around the pitch, change the point of contact, and try and add some sort of surprise and stress into the South African defence.
I know that Gregor Townsend's had to be isolating, but he's still been working behind the scenes. But I get the sense, picking up on what you've just said, that his influence has been significant and could be crucial for the Test series.
Yeah, I think so. It's certainly not, you know, the Warren Ball tag that was levelled at Warren Gatland a few years ago, and you know, Jamie Roberts crashing up the middle. We've seen good balance to the play, and you know, they have been getting to the wide channels and moving teams around, and as a result, there's been a bit more time on the ball for guys closer in, and we've seen, you know, some of the ball handling of the first receiver when it's a forward, rather than trucking it straight up into a big mass of bodies. They've been able to play a little bit, and I think they need to get that tempo on the game. But as I said, what South Africa are the masters at is controlling the tempo and slowing the game down, you know, almost making it, you know, a complete arm wrestle, and then suddenly they'll get an opportunity, and they have, you know, they like the touch paper, they've got the likes of Cheslin Kolbe on the wing, and they go, and you're 7-14 points down before you know what's happened.
Yeah. One thing that's really struck me, Ben, and I'd love to get your perspective on this, being as what's been talked about a lot since the 2005 tour, despite all the struggles and despite only having each other, they seem to have built an incredible atmosphere in the camp. It'd be really interesting to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, look, I think there is. Clearly, it's not been as much fun as touring together should be, because they have been completely in lockdown. But out of adversity comes some stronger ties, doesn't it? You make the best of the situation you're in. But I think, you know, I actually think mentally it will take quite a toll on the players when they come back. That they might have a bit of a dip. But I think for this short period of time that they're away together, under the cosh a bit and not able to escape, it's bonding them together and they can achieve something special.
Do you think potentially, as you say, it's not ideal and it's not what they would have chosen, but in some respects, they will have been able to engineer some relationships within the group that maybe you've spoken before about that you missed out a bit in 2005, that tour to New Zealand?
Yeah, because there's no escape. So you can't go off and sulk, even if you want to. You know, that if someone's getting on your nerves, you've got to address the problem there and then. You can't go and have a quiet moment somewhere else. So I think inevitably they've had to work on that. And because everyone's aware of it, they have that mindset that we can't let anything fester. We can't let people go off tour. So it's always a critical part of the tour the next week or so because, you know, up until now, everyone's been competing for test places. And so the dynamic changes once you get to knowing what that first test team's going to be. And the players will have an inkling just because of the way things have been done in training. They won't necessarily know and they won't have been told, but they'll be starting to work out some of the people that are nailed on. And then it's about, right, how can I support this guy and make it the best tour we can possibly be, come away with a series win, and, you know, I'll stay as involved as I can be, and I might still get my shot.
Ben, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, Tim.
Nice one. It's the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18+, be drink aware. We've got commentary of every game of the Lions tour to South Africa across the TalkSport network. And next, we're going to look at the origin story of Taulupe Faletau with the help of his former coach at Filton College, George Tavner.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
To Taulupe Faletau, can he bounce off or bounce off two and put the ball down in the corner? Try given to Taulupe Faletau.
Taulupe Faletau, Bath Rugby, Wales.
Back rowers, there's a lot of competition at the moment. Yeah, it's going to be difficult for us, but you know, look, he's going well.
One moment, Bogas, Faletau has scored! Oh my goodness!
Welcome back to the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2. It's the show that we bring you 5 days a week on all non-match days throughout the British and Irish Lions tour to South Africa, and it's available as a podcast as well. So follow and download us from wherever you get yours. And a regular segment on the show is our player profile, where we chat to family members, former teammates and coaches of every player member of the 2021 Lions squad. And today it's the Wales and Bath number 8 Taulupe Faletau. And George Tavner joins me. He was head of rugby at Filton College when Taulupe was there. Hi, George.
Hi there, how are you doing?
I'm very well. Give us the lowdown on Taulupe then. He comes across as a very quiet figure. What was he like when you first met him?
Yeah, I mean, he was a very quiet individual when I first met him, but he was also incredibly respectful and also very humble. But he also had a real determination about him. To see him to go on and achieve what he has been absolutely fantastic. And everyone at the college is extremely proud of him. How did it come about him coming to the college? I suppose he was at the college for 3 years. And it's a bit of a funny story. He was actually living in South Wales, in Ebervale, in South Wales. And he was obviously Tongan, and that's why he was in Ebervale, because his dad was representing Ebervale Rugby Club. But he had some cousins that are probably quite well known, a Mako Vinopola and a Billy Vinopola.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Who were living in Thornbury in Bristol. And at the time, I was coaching Bristol schools, and I got to know Mako and Billy really well. And the ironic thing about the story is I was trying to recruit Mako Vinopola into the college, and I met his father. And his father basically said to me, "Look, Georgia, I know you've spent a lot of time with Mako and we've worked hard with him, but unfortunately he's going to go to a scholarship to Millfield. However, I do have another guy that you may be interested in, and his name's Talupi Faletau." And as you say, the rest is history. He was absolutely brilliant for us at the college. And, you know, as I said, I'm extremely proud of him. But, it's great to see him doing so well.
Was he always a number eight, George?
When he joined the college, he actually started in the second row, so he wasn't quite as athletic when he was. He was always a big kid, but he wasn't that athletic when he was sort of 14, 15, 16. When he joined us at 16, we started him in the second row, but his ball skills and his the way he read the game, his ability quickly began to shine through, and I thought, I'm missing a trick here, having him in the second row. So we moved him to number eight, and he was absolutely fantastic, and he just grew. As the seasons went on, by the second year, he was a player of the season at the college, and he was doing some pretty special things. And it was at that point I thought this boy's going to go on and do really well. And as has shown, he's been brilliant.
Well, when you look back at the people that have come through Filton College, it's the Filton system. There's been quite a roster of names. How good was Talupe Faletau when you look back compared to the others that have come through?
All these players that came through are different. But the thing that stood out with me with Toby was his temperament, and he didn't get fazed by anything. So whatever level he played at, he just sort of rose the occasion, and his skill shone through. Because in some ways, I think he just got his head down. He didn't overthink it. He wasn't like a rugby nose. He didn't know every single player, and he just sort of got his head down and worked hard. His skill came through. So. I remember a story. By the third year he was at the college, he was already then playing professional rugby for the Dragons. We sort of outshone the college team, and I knew at that stage we need to let this boy go and play the level, and so he can actually keep challenging himself. So he was playing for the Newport Gwent Dragons first team as an 18-year-old. And I remember in his third year of college, I sat down with him one day and I said, "Toby, are you looking forward to the game against the Ospreys this evening?" And he sort of shrugged. He said, "Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hope it'll be good." I said, "How do you think you're going to get on against the back row of the Ospreys?" And the back row of the Ospreys at the time was Ryan Jones, Jerry Collins, and Marty Holler. And he was an 18-year-old kid at school. And he just shrugged. He wasn't thinking, "Oh, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it." And I think in a lot of ways that was his biggest strength, that he didn't overthink it. He just loved playing. He wasn't the best trainer in the world, but you put a ball in his hand, you put him in a game, he was unbelievable. And to definitely have all the boys that have come through at Filton, he had the best temperament. He had the ability to cope with pressure, the ability to, whatever level he played at, to thrive in, was absolutely outstanding. And, that's what stood out for me really the most.
From one of his early coaches, have a listen to his latest and most prominent coach in his professional career. Have a listen to Warren Gatland. And talking about the competition in the back row.
I spoke to them all last night and just said, "Look, you've got a license from me to go and get your hands on the ball and express yourself." So I said, "You're probably not renowned as line-out experts, but you've got to play to your strengths." And obviously we're a strong defenders and great ball carriers. And so, yeah, it's a different aspect to look at, but it's pretty exciting.
Warren Gatland on the back row, an embarrassment of riches he's got at his disposal. What have you made of Talupe on the tour so far?
I think he's had a good start. I think, again, like we've been talking about in this interview so far, I think he's taken the games in his stride and he's raised himself to play at a really good level again. I think the point of difference for me with Toby is his ability to offload the ball, his ability to beat players with his athleticism. And I think going up against the box, I don't think we want to fight fire with fire. Whilst we've got to match their physicality, I think that you know, we definitely need to move them around and get an offloading game going and move the ball away where we can, away from their big heavy forwards. And I think Toby definitely gives that option. But yeah, definitely, I think in terms of how he started the tour, he's done really well. And I hope, fingers crossed, he can get himself back in that test team again.
For sure. He's definitely, there's a lot of competition in that squad. But by the sounds of what you're saying, he's just going to take it all in his stride one way or the other and do the very best he can. Do you still have any contact with him at all, George?
Well, yeah, I do, because following my time at Filton College, I went across and was working as assistant academy manager at Bath Rugby. Mm-hmm. And 2 years after I got that job, Toby obviously signed for Bath. So I spent a fair bit of time with him as he grew up and as he matured. And, you know, it was great to see his young family growing up and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I don't speak to him all the time, but I do keep in touch with him. And, you know, it's great to see him. And, you know, I'm just incredibly proud of him.
Hey, well, let's finish off with that then. If you could send him a message right now, if you were speaking to him, not me, what would you say?
I would tell him to go and do his best. You know, we're proud of you, and you know, keep doing what you're doing. Play with a smile on your face, and take it in your stride as you always have, and make people home and proud of you as you've done throughout your career.
George, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
No problem at all. Good to chat to you.
Top man. George Taverner, who was the head of rugby at Filton College when Tal Lupe was there, and coached him at Bath as well as he was coming through. And yeah, it's interesting actually. I think that battle for the number 8 jersey, I would go Jack Conan's looked really good on the tour, Alfie. Tal Lupe Faletau, we know his class, he's got a lot of credit in the bank, especially with Warren Gatland. And an outside shout, Tom Curry could be slotted in there if Warren Gatland wanted to rejig it. It's fascinating.
It keeps changing, doesn't it? I think it is one of those positions that maybe we all were changing who we think it should play there against South Africa. And, you know, we'll see what happens on the weekend before, you know, that position gets cemented.
For sure. You're listening to the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18 plus, be drink aware. Up next, we're going to hear from Jason Robinson on Cheslin Colby. And we'll go through some of the funny moments that happened last night in TalkSport's commentary. And what was James Haskell referring to here?
What's that big cuddle all about?
This is the moment. It's not. It's Justin Harrison's moment. That was incredible.
And this is it for Australia. The Lions roared loudly, but the Wallabies soared higher.
That was 20 years ago yesterday, the third test between Australia and the British and Irish Lions. And yeah, as you heard at the end of that game, it was the moment that Justin Harrison, affectionately known as the Plank, stole a line-out 5 metres from the Australian try line as the Lions were attacking. It was 26-23 at the time when that happened. Australia went on to win the third test 29-23, sealing a 2-1 series victory and deflating the hearts of every British and Irish Lions fan. At that point, I can tell you firsthand in that commentary, firstly, it was described as incredible from Justin Harrison. It was a very good line-out steal, but it was also just really laboured. I watched it again the other day, and it's really laboured, the lift on Martin Johnson at the front. Still frustrates me now.
It's amazing the things that you still pick up, isn't it, after all these years? It would be the same for me 2009 when I still see the end of the second test match in South Africa, the Ronan O'Gara penalty and Mornay Steyn's kick to win it. I still can't get over it.
Yeah. Also, I can't get over the fact Mornay Steyn played again last night. You just mentioned him there and he played last night again. Unreal.
It's absolutely bonkers, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. So also the other thing, just to make a little mention of that, the Australian commentator who got himself in a cul-de-sac he couldn't get out of. The Lions roared, but the Wallabies, what are Wallabies doing again? Soared. I don't know.
Just to clarify, Wallabies don't fly,
they
do
don't
they?
Fly, no. Last I heard, not unless Justin Harrison picked one up and lobbed it. I don't know, no. So there you go. That's another little look back at one of the great moments. Hopefully we're going to have plenty of big moments in the weeks ahead in this really exciting test series between the Lions and South Africa. As we round up some of the latest bits from the tour, we haven't got to yet on the Lions Daily right now. How about Cheslin Colby first off? Because he proved his class yesterday for South Africa A. And the former England winger Jason Robinson, well, he told Paul Coit on TalkSport 2 this morning that the Lions will have their work cut out to stop him in the test matches.
One of the other things that the Lions will need to get right is that aerial game. You know, we came off second best. South Africa really dominated in that area. And players like Cheslin Kolbe, dearie me, boy, is that guy quick. It's knowing what you face, but when you face it, it's a lot, you know, it's a lot more difficult to stop. And he's one of those players, you know, you've either got to put the ball out of play, or you've got to stick it up on him and then just send three or four guys to smash him, to be fair. Otherwise, he will pick people off, and he's got the footwork, you know, just to get round people and make the best of players look really silly.
When Jason Robinson is marvelling at your footwork and your speed, you know you're doing something good. Because, I mean, who does Cheslin Kolbe remind you of, Alfie Reynolds?
Jason Robinson. And this is what we were thinking about earlier, wasn't it?
Yeah, 100%. He's the most Jason Robinson-esque rugby player since Jason Robinson. That electric footwork, finding a gap out of absolutely nowhere, all fast twitch and pure speed. He is just incredible to watch.
I can't imagine being able to do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, even Lewis Rees-Zammit, for example, absolutely rapid, but it's and this, I mean this respectfully, it's kind of that straight line speed where he will absolutely burn you. With Cheslin Kolbe, you watch him and you think, how on earth is a human being able to do that? I mean, he is a star of the sport, and in a South African team that is known for its physicality, I tell you what, he's not bad out wide, is he?
Yeah, he sort of moves like you know how you see house flies just dart around your house when they get in your window and they annoy you in your kitchen. He just moves like one of them, just changes direction. It's unreal. And that try yesterday, Chris Harris followed up the kick from Elliot Daly, and Chris Harris had him covered. Chris Harris, one of the best defenders in the Lions squad, and he had him right up until the point that he didn't have him.
Exactly, and that is the question, that how do you stop him? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, you can say they have to kick well and make sure the chase is there, he doesn't have too much space, but at some point in the test series, Cheslin Kolbe is going to get in space, and then how do you go about stopping him? It's so difficult.
Yeah, he's a proper game breaker. And here's one for you. So imagine they finally get round to making another rugby union video game like the classic Jonah Lomu back in the day. Is Cheslin Kolbe a contender for someone you would have as the poster boy for rugby on the front of it? Does he have that potential to transcend the sport and be bigger than rugby?
Yeah, I think in terms of ability, 100%. I don't think there's many players who are as exciting to watch that as soon as they get the ball, and who will turn heads for people that aren't necessarily rugby fans, because that's kind of what you're looking for, isn't it, in that kind of personality of the sport. But for me, rugby's always had a little bit of an issue with that, to go off on a tiny bit of a tangent, in terms of those players that transcend the sport and drive it forward and take it to an audience who aren't necessarily rugby fans. Cheslin Kolbe is really down to earth and a humble kind of guy. And that's also the culture you have in a lot of the Pacific Islands and New Zealand as well. But then on the other flip side of that, in rugby and the Mavericks, whether it be a Quade Cooper or a Danny Cipriani, they tend to get ostracised a little bit. Rugby almost doesn't know how to deal with
them. Carlos Spencer would be another one.
Exactly. And yeah. I do wonder whether, you know, rugby needs that person that really transcends the sport, and you know, it's difficult for it to find it because of those two things I just mentioned. I don't know.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking of another one, South African as well, Siya Kolisi. He's another guy who, the work he does off the rugby field and the foundation that he's built and the power that he's, what he's used his position for, has been absolutely incredible. But equally, I understand exactly what you're saying. He's not the kind of guy that's just going to walk around with a bit of a swagger and get people's attention.
And I think rugby maybe has an issue with it in a degree. In a sense, it's a good problem because of the ethos of rugby generally, is it means, you know, they like people being humble. But in terms of growing the sport, I do think it helps when it's those players that, you know, a little bit more on the edge.
Well, I mentioned earlier that Marcus Smith said quite confidently, even when he was still a teenager, I want to be the best player in the world. He has got humility, but he also has got a little bit of that swagger. So, mate, could Marcus Smith be that guy long-term, potentially?
Not a bad shout. Not a bad shout at all.
Well, let's hear what Warren Gatland had to say about the new fly half that's joined his squad. If you missed me give you the team for Saturday against the Stormers earlier in the show, Marcus Smith will start at fly half for the Lions. And Warren Gatland, he said he's been impressed by his development.
There's no doubt he's developed as a player in the last 12 months or so, and he's had an outstanding year for Harlequins. He's got a couple of caps for England, which is brilliant. He's you know, a young man who's incredibly enthusiastic. He's a bit of a sponge in terms of sort of soaking up all the knowledge and talking to players within the group. There's no doubt he's got some real attacking prowess. He's matured significantly, and you know, we're really excited about him him having an opportunity to start. I think, you know, we were initially looking at him probably coming off the bench, but, you know, the message to him is just go out there and enjoy the occasion and make the most of it and go and make a few people sit up and take notice.
Well, he certainly is doing that. Warren Gatland talking about Marcus Smith. And when you piece Marcus Smith into that back line for the weekend with Ali Price inside him, an explosive scrum half, Stuart Hogg at fullback, and then Elliot Daly and Duane van der Merwe, it's a really exciting looking back line.
It is. It's a brilliant looking back line, Tim. Yeah, no, I'm really excited to see how they go. Again, as we mentioned earlier in the show, whether Marcus Smith will be able to get any action in terms of the test matches, you'd say he's very much an outside shout. But purely for this weekend, looking at how that back line is going to go, I think we're going to be seeing points.
Yeah, and as an Englishman as I am, Marcus Smith having this experience could be huge for him and for England and the Lions in future tours as well, to be fair. Onto something a little less serious right now on the Lions Daily. And how good was it to hear James Haskell on TalkSport commentary duty last night? He provided brilliant analysis, as he always does, the Hask. But that classic Haskell personality came through as well. And we did enjoy him chatting about the scrum.
I don't think anyone knows what's happening at scrum time anywhere. Fans that you meet in the street, they come up and talk to you as if I might have any idea. They're sort of, you know, talks about the scrum, what goes on in the scrum, what's that big cuddle all about? Nobody knows apart from the front row, but they make it so mystical, that's why they get paid the big bucks, because it's like a bit like repairing a car. They make it so complicated that no one else can do it, but that's why they charge the big bucks. But they have to be very careful they get this right, because referees will come into this game with preconceived ideas, and you need to make sure that you're squeaky clean. Because when you get into a test match, you don't want the referee thinking, hold on a minute, the Lions haven't had that much dominance, perhaps it was them at fault.
There's a man with absolute substance and a bit of style as well.
I love how he's able to combine quite a funny, entertaining way about the scrum and then going into some serious analysis. It was beautifully condensed into 30 seconds or so.
Yeah, it's great having Hask on board. He's right about the scrum as well. I sometimes wonder whether refs just turn up with a magic eight ball to make their decisions. But on that, I thought in the game last night, Mako Vunipola could have potentially gone from, before last night, being the third choice, Lou said, to potentially putting himself in contention for a test start, because he came on and looked really good.
And it's strange because he struggled earlier in the tour against opposition you would have expected to be easier. So who knows how Warren Gatland and co are going to be able to pick their starting front row.
Yeah. As for the Hask, he wasn't just a forward pack, which, you know, James knows his way around a forward pack. He was eagle-eyed as ever. So have a listen to this on Lewis Rhys-Samet's new Barnet.
I've spotted something, and it's not what you think I've spotted. It is Lewis Rhys-Samet appears to have a lightning bolt cut into the back of his head, which, because obviously they call him Rhys Lightning. Now, I love the branding. As a man, as a commercial animal that I was, I love that, but perhaps maybe not on the Lions tour against the South African side. But I like it. Listen, if he scores a hat-trick tonight, then fair play. But I've just seen that, and I'm like, the last three bits he's had, he's been filled in twice. And Chesney Colby just stepped him. So yes. I would get onto the barber at half time, whiz that off, I think.
Haskell on Lewis Rhys-Samet's lightning bolt hairstyle, which I also spotted. And I thought potentially we definitely saw the limits of Lewis Rhys-Samet's hairstyle choices. I think possibly there's an argument that we saw the limits of him on a rugby field as well. He's an incredible talent and he's going to be one of the greats. But You saw a 20-year-old who's only in his second senior season there.
Coming up against the world champions.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were times I felt where he perhaps was a little bit exposed. On the haircut, I know Andrew McKenna in commentary as well suggested that maybe it's one to keep our eyes peeled for the DVD extras of the Lions tour and whether there's some sort of forfeit going on there.
100%. I was thinking it's a bet, it's a punishment. And yeah, I totally agree with Macker on that. And finally, is there no end to the talents of the South Africa director of rugby, Rassie Erasmus? He was pitch side as a water boy last night. Warren Gatland, though, he had some advice on how Rassie could do an even better job.
Last night, you know, he's the water boy and running on the pitch. But the thing, if you're the water boy running onto the pitch, you've got to make sure you're carrying water. So I didn't quite understand what his role was. You know, you don't run onto the pitch giving messages and stuff without, if you're the water boy, without carrying the water. So my advice to him is make sure he's carrying water next time when he does that.
It's a great point by Warren Gatland, to be fair.
It is a good point. I quite enjoyed the director of rugby being right in amongst it. But yeah, probably does need to bring on some water if he's actually wearing the water boy bib.
A little bit of feedback for Warren Gatland, though. When you're sort of telling a funny in a press conference, try and stay deadpan. tried to resist the urge to laugh at your own gag.
But, he really enjoyed it, didn't he?
But I love that there is banter, even between the directors of rugby. It's great to see. You just don't see some of this stuff in other sports. And that is a wrap on the Lions Daily for today with On Talk Sport 2 with the famous grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18 plus, be drink aware. The Lions tour of South Africa, every single match, you will get commentary across the Talk Sport network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.